we all have strong opinions and are forthcoming in sharing them. And you may have heard of the reference to having one mouth and two ears and the encouragement to do the math. What that sums to is our challenge for deep listening. Deep listening is when we just listen without waiting for the other person or persons to stop talking for us to then once again share our opinions and perspectives based on our worldview alone. And so this conversation is with somebody who has spent the last 40 years contributing and earning a living from deep listening. Peter Pearlson, who is arguably South Africa's most decorated and versatile sound engineer and music producer, both in studios and on some of the biggest stages in the world. And I've had the good fortune of Peter producing my own music. If you described deep listening to somebody, what would you say?
It's a very wide and very deep and very varied experience, not to bark over the top of someone who is trying to stress a point or form and justify an opinion. Very important in terms of social and cultural respect for allowing people space to communicate and also allowing people space to absorb. Our respective teaching backgrounds, it plays a very big part in the method of pedagogy. It can be very easy to be dogmatic and forceful in your opinions without allowing not only to absorb, but to breathe and to respond. And it is in the response and the reaction. Deep listening plays a big part in that on both counts, on the count of the person who is teaching. I've always not been enamored with the term lecturer because it implies a one-way discourse. I've always been obsessed with music. My earliest memories are wandering around the house with a little handheld gramophone in one hand and a pile of singles in the other. And I was very into things like Peter and the Wolf, which was a great story, but it was also a wonderful introduction into the role of the way that an orchestra works and the way that the instruments chat and embellish and talk to each other and react with each other. And it filled me with all of these notes and all of these melodies. It was absolutely fascinating. And I listened to the totality. There was no analysis. I either liked it or I didn't. I was just so obsessed by the finished thing. So I saw an advert on television. I was in South Africa already, so I must have been 13. But there was a scene in a studio, and I looked at that, and I had no idea where it was, but I said, that's what I want to do. That's where I want to be. That looks like the heartbeat of this thing that I love. So what happened was, one, I was introduced to genres of music that I had absolutely no understanding about. And initially, I found it very difficult because I didn't understand the music and I didn't enjoy the music. That lasted for about 3 months until I thought, this is really cool. So I started recording. I spent 2.5 years working for Barclays Bank, and that funded my trip to America. The best day that I ever had in that 2.5 years at the bank was not as good as the worst day that I've ever had spending time making music in the studio. Initially, I was pretty insecure. I found the technical side of engineering very challenging initially. I didn't find the music visionary side of it. That seemed to come much more naturally to me, purely, I think, because of my listening background. I wouldn't have labeled it deep listening then, but I certainly had an awareness of melody, structure, arrangement, geography. Even if you're not quite sure how to label that understanding, it is there. This is where my listening experience changed. My deep listening experience changed in so far as it became incredibly analytical. So it got to a point where I could no longer encompass the whole. I was dissecting the sum of the parts. And for a long time, it diminished my listening experience, which had always been the most personal and special thing. And I found that that listening experience became diminished. It became secondary to analyzing the sum of the parts that went into that recording. So I could listen to something and go, wow, listen to that snare sound. Listen to that reverb tail. Listen to that kick drum. I wonder what mic they used, without really even being able anymore to not do that, to not pull this entire production apart, because I was curious, because I was now in a career where that was what I was doing. I was recording the sum of the parts and putting them together. So the sum of the parts became incredibly important, because you could ruin something by getting one of those little bits wrong. So all of the elements that made up the whole became more important than the whole. And that I found very disturbing. I wasn't totally conscious of it at the time. It's just a process. And I think it was a process that was necessary. And it took me a long time to be able to get back to a point where I could put on a song and not be worried by a buzz on a bass guitar or a slightly ringy snare drum or a vocal line that was out of tune, because prior to that, those things worried me. And then it would diminish the listening experience, because I was going in deep listening, but analytically. I can now, if I choose to be analytical because I need to be, I can do that. And then I can turn around and I can listen to it holistically without worrying about the details that make it what it is.
What's interesting is that you haven't mentioned empathy, because I've never met somebody who, before worrying about any technology, you say, why this song? Why now? I tell you, and you are completely quiet. You suspend judgment, which for me is an attribute of wisdom and of deep listening. Then how do I know that you have really listened? The evidence is in the final master mirrors what I told you about what this piece is about and why now. So what one simple thing can every single person listening to this conversation be more conscious about doing to become a better listener, regardless of the context in which they find themselves?
It starts with the most simple of premise, and that is the love of the note. It's very simple. That's where everything is based on for me. What is that note saying when it is forming the basis of the first drop of a fountain that is going to deliver a whole lot of other notes, a whole lot of other feelings, a whole lot of other expressions? And it is being sensitive enough to allow the note, which then becomes notes, which then becomes expression, allow that to dictate what it needs. Allow the vision to manifest naturally. It's not complicated. The detail, the motivation is not difficult. So the love of the note, being able to add value. In other words, understanding the starting point and the journey that this composition has taken, and being fairly confident that the vision that is generated is going to serve. I have no desire to serve myself or my needs. All I want to do is serve the needs of the vision that is generated by the music and by the ideas behind the music. I have also never really wanted to sacrifice ease of listening for achievement of vision. It hasn't been 42 years of repetition, which has been the wonder of this journey, is that every situation is different. Every artist is different. Every process to get to the end of whatever it is that we're doing is different. Constant stimulation, constant learning, constant running with the tech, trying your best to leap on the back and dig your nails in so you don't get left behind, but without forgetting the reason why we're here, which is the love of the note. Being able to interpret. And interpretation comes from paying attention and listening. So if you don't listen, you're not going to get the knowledge that you need to be able to achieve the vision. I did a lovely EP. She sang very well. The one song, she said it was the first song that she wrote, was inspired by the death of her father, who she was very, very close to. It was a very, very difficult vocal to do. She cried a lot while she was singing. And it was necessary. She had to feel the pain in order for other people to be able to feel that pain, to feel empathy, to feel sadness, to feel joy, the joy of the relationship, the joy of the closeness, the sadness of the passing, the loss, the coming to terms with the loss, the celebration of the life that was. It has to be conveyed. We have to connect on a much higher and deeper level than the physical in terms of what we do. That is what makes it a lasting experience.